And the Council on Foreign Relations in New York is an example I'd like to take because it helps to explain what's really happening. The CFR, as they are called, has about 4,500 US-based members. They issue an annual report. It's for free. All you have to do is write to them and ask them, and they'll send it to you for free. And amongst other things, at the very end of the book, they will give you the full list of the 4,500 members. It's in beautifully alphabetical order. And when you start looking at the list, you say, well, a lot of names I know. Bill Clinton, Alan Greenspan, George H.W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Robert Gates, the defense minister, George Soros, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Charles Prince, William Rhodes, and Robert Rubin of Citicorp fame, David Rockefeller, Maurice Greenberg of AIG, Madeleine Albright, Stanley Fisher and Ann Kruger, who used to be with the IMF, Susan Rice and Condoleezza Rice, one is a Democrat, the other one is a Republican, Timothy Geithner, we know them all, Henry Paulson, James Wolfensohn, Lawrence Summers, Paul Volcker, ex-former governor of the Federal Reserve Bank. However, most of those 4,500 people, at least in Argentina, we haven't a clue who they are. But I took the trouble, and a lot of people have, of trying to find out who are these people. And when you look at who are these people, you find that you have the key decision makers and the key people running the 500 largest corporations in America, the Fortune 500, the major banks, the ones who actually receive your dollars and they give it back, maybe, the major multilateral organizations like the IMF, the World Bank, and other such organizations, and the people running them, Stanley Fisher, Ann Kruger, Robert Sowelic at the World Bank, the Federal Reserve Board in the United States, which is running the US dollar, the major universities, as far as economic and political science are concerned, Yale, Princeton, Harvard, Chicago, MIT, and so forth, the multimedia, telling you what's news and what is not news, and when they tell you something is news, how they're going to deliver it, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and so forth. And very important, the key job posts in government, in the federal government, in the state governments, Congress, and so forth, systematically over the past 60 years, the president or vice president, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury, the intelligence community, the key embassies abroad, the Defense Secretary, and other such key posts have always been covered. They've always been in the hands of people coming from the CFR. It doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats. This works many of these people have multi-memberships. They are also members of the Trilateral Commission, they are also members of the RAND Corporation, the Cato Corporation, the Brookings Institution, the Bilderberg Groups, naturally, and so forth. If I were to describe to you the wheel of power in this world, I think you would agree that we could take, say, six spikes of power, which are the ones I just mentioned, corporate America, financial institutions, multilateral agencies running the system as a whole, Ivy League universities, the multimedia and government. And you would say, well, these six spikes, why does the wheel of power on a global basis turn in the direction that it does towards this horrendous world government that we are about to see, and not in a more kinder, gentler direction? Well, basically, because that wheel of power is driven from a hub. And that hub is the low-profile but high-power network of global financial, of global institutions and think tanks that are actually planning the New World Order, and they do this on a long-term basis. It takes literally decades. And the important thing is that whilst the planning takes place at the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Bilderberg Group, no actions are taken from the CFR and the Bilderbergs and the Trilaterals. The important thing is that the decisions taken are then operated by each individual from his natural place of activity, whether it be as the CEO of a major corporation, the CEO of a bank, the deputy director of the IMF, or the vice president or president of the United States or secretary of the Treasury. Look, the best way to describe this would be with a simile. This functions like a symphony orchestra. Many of you, I certainly do, probably have heard Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the Chorale Symphony. And you probably, if you go to the theater, you will find when you go to the theater that there are first violins, 16 of them, second violins, violas, cellos, basses, woodwind instruments, brass or the metal instruments, percussion, a chorus of singers, and four soloist singers. Perhaps there are 200 people on stage, each of them talented and ready to generate the sound, whether it be from the violin, from the trumpet, or from his own voice, to start putting together and making Beethoven's Ninth Symphony a reality. But there is one special exception to this. It's a gentleman who appears on stage with his back to the audience, with a little stick in his hand, and he starts directing, and he makes no noise, no sound whatsoever. But he is the one who stands in the middle and hears the entire mass of music, and he knows that the violins have to sound a little bit stronger, that the brass has to play it down a little bit, and if there is any small mistake or small error on the part of any of the singers, he brings it all together. He is the man who ensures that the entire mass of sound coming out of the orchestra pit and out of the chorus and out of the singers is exact, balanced, perfect, the way it should be. But he is not doing it because he's a dictator or according to his own whim. He is doing it based on a piece of paper called a musical score, which in this case is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in D minor, the chorale. And he is doing this based on that score, and that score was not written yesterday. That score was written by Ludwig van Beethoven in 1825. So look at that. We're hearing the orchestra play music that was composed 180 years ago. It's very important that we understand this, because in a way, the conductor of this New World Order is this hub, this network of loosely tied together but very strong and powerful think tanks, with the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and the Bilderbergs at the very center. They are the ones with a low profile and a lot of clout who make the whole thing happen. It's very important that we understand that this is the way the world really works. It's a model, and that also helps to explain the present global financial crisis. It's a necessary, painful stage on the way to world government. And when you understand that something is part of a model, it becomes, as I say, understandable. And that which can be explained and understood can be predicted. So, for example, going back to the example of Beethoven, if I'm sitting in the theater listening to the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, I already know that there's a third movement on the way, and that there is a fourth movement on the way, and if I know my Beethoven, I will know exactly how they sound, so I can predict what will be happening in the next 40 or 50 minutes. The second movement, and then the wonderful third movement, and the chorus will be silent in the third movement, but it will start singing about one-third of the way down the fourth movement. It is predictable, but you have to know your Beethoven, you have to know your music, and you have to know what it's all about. And if you don't like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, you also have to understand that you can't go back to Beethoven to complain. Conclusion. Lucid, independent thinking citizens, whether in the United States, Europe, or Argentina, can best defend their countries and their liberties by understanding what is happening. We are all called to be good doctors, so to speak, of the social body of all our respective countries. And we all know that if a doctor is brought before him a patient who feels bad, the first thing he has to do is a diagnosis. He has to know what's happening to this guy, that he's running a high fever. Why does he feel bad? And only when he has made a proper diagnosis can he then adventure to suggest a curing therapy. Will it be aspirin? Will it be antibiotics? Will it be maybe surgery? Will it be chemotherapy? Will it be intensive care? He can only do that once he has understood the nature of the ailment, he has understood the gravity of the sickness, and he can do something about it. So, dear friends, everywhere, let's see how we can all work together beyond our respective countries' national boundaries and beyond our respective countries' specific interests to see how we can solve common problems, mitigate the adverse effects of the new world order that is coming now, and it's called world government, and combat this common enemy. Because if the New World Order people succeed, it's a very small group of very powerful people, in imposing a world government on us, then it's going to be hell for most of us. We still have some time to avoid George Orwell's 1984 nightmare. But as I say, we have some time. We do not have all the time in the world. Think about it.